but following after the same example of the Old Testament of unbelief. And that's what happens. They fall after the same example. Unbelief. They do not obtain the promises because they do not even believe. Well, I believe in Jesus. You believe in the... Yeah, it's like coming to a buffet and say, I'll take the chicken. But there's a lot of other stuff here, sir. I'll just take the chicken. Thank you. And there's a whole banquet set before you of promises. And God, you know, it's an insult to not take everything that God has set before you. He wants you to have faith. He says, take ye and eat all of it. And you go up, no thanks, Lord. I'll just take the chicken. I'll just have chicken. And why I pick on chicken, because it seems like a very sort of, you know, I'll just take one part I like. Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrown through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Okay. That section kind of flows all together. We don't want to be fornicators. Profane. What is profane? You know what a fornicator is. We don't use the word much anymore. But it means basically all manner of harlotry and sexual relations apart from those which are sanctified by marriage. Profane means is babylos. It comes from two words which mean to walk a threshold. The two, walk and threshold. And it means accessible. Profane means accessible. In what sense? That's obviously some sort of figurative meaning. It means as by crossing the doorway, that is by implication of Jewish notions, heathenish, profane, meaning you go outside that door and there's that whole heathen world out there, right? That's what the word means. I mean, profane, the things that are out in the world, the things that are outside of the household of God, the things that are outside the household of faith are profane. And the world is filled with profanity, common talk, common deeds, common drink, common covetousness, common adultery, the profane fornication of the world. And he, for one morsel of meat, for one meal, meat is always put, well, now as many times is put by figure of speech for the food, because it was actually a bowl of pottage. I think there was meat in it. He loved those beans. And he sold his birthright. He's like, I'm starving. What's my inheritance to me? I'm starving. And to him, he probably gave it away as a joke. But Jacob made him swear. And then, later on, he wanted to get the blessing back. He was rejected. So he didn't take it seriously. He didn't take his you know, he's like, he didn't keep his Christianity seriously. He didn't follow after the promises. He didn't take hold of the promise and say, oh, I want that promise. He was like, what's that promise to me? Give me something of the flesh. Give me a woman. Give me a bowl of soup. Give me something and forget about that. You know, you see, like I said in the other chapter, the turning aside from the promises, rejecting it, giving it away. It wasn't merely that he was hungry and ate, or merely that someone sinned, but rather, he did it in rejection of the blessing that was promised through Isaac from Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, And Esau? No, it would be Jacob, because Esau despised his birthright. And Jacob was father of the 12 patriarchs, and Jacob became known as Israel, from which the nation of Israel gets their name. And he was father of the 12 patriarchs of the Jewish nation. So afterwards, you know, he wanted to get his blessing. Later on, he's like, oh, well, you know, I do want it. He was rejected. He found no place of repentance. He sought it carefully with tears. Now, some people would say, well, you know, he was... I've heard people say that Esau wasn't truly repenting. Are you kidding me? Paul says he sought it carefully. Carefully with tears. Meaning, he sought that he could recuperate. But it was too late. God had rejected him, and his father rejected him as well. He couldn't. He said, no, I can't give you the blessing. I give it to Jacob. And the same thing is, and what does Paul say? Oh, this can happen to people that think they're Christians. This can happen if people fail of the grace of God. It's not that God's grace runs out, because I'm entirely dependent on it. But you can seem to think, oh, I'm under grace. And then all of a sudden you do something like cast it aside. And all that proves is you were never under grace. And when you come before God, he's going to say, I don't even know you. That's terrifying. Do not let go of the promises of God. In spite of whatever happens, don't take your eyes off of him. Don't forget about your Savior. Like I said, I don't count people who were raised up in some pathetic example of a church and then become unbelievers and then return to the faith. I'm talking about people who truly come to faith in, as I teach it, or as anyone who would teach it as I do, in truth, according to this word. You come to true faith and you begin to experience the blessings and the divine promises and the gifts of heaven. You know, and you really begin to touch those things and you really have, you know, acquired something in God, and then to turn aside from it then. Like this, I would just, if I were to turn aside from Christ and be like, I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to follow my own way, my own path. Right? Some bitter root coming up in me. You know, like, it could be over money. Let's say, God's never helped me in money. Well, I'm through with that. I'm going to focus on making money because that's all I care about. All I care about is making money. So I'm going to make money and forget God.